We're in a very, very special time that we're entering into now. And then there's a shefa, there's a tremendous bracha that's come into the world, Rosh Chodesh Shvat. And tonight is the yahrzeit of the Rebbe Zusha. Shefa of ahava, of love. Ahava is Yisrael, love for Jews, love for Torah. So we need to understand, what is it that's happening at this time of the year in the world? Where are we? The beginning of Masechta Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah tells us that there are different Rosh Hashanahs in the year. Besides the Rosh Hashanah that we are most familiar with, there are other Rosh Hashanahs for different things in Halakha. And it says that Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, the new year of the tree. It doesn't say of trees. It says Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, the Rosh Hashanah of the tree. Is Rosh Chodesh Shvat Kedivrei Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai holds that it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat, the new year for trees, which has significance in the halachas of Eretz Yisrael, how we count the years for different gifts, as you know, that have to be taken off from the produce. That's not for now. But it says, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan is Rosh Chodesh Shvat Kedivrei Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel, of course, holds this the 15th, which we call Tu B'Shvat. So the Sfarim are all asking, why does it say that according to Beis Shammai, Rosh Chodesh Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, is the new year of the tree? Everything else there is in the plural. So what's Le'ilan, the tree? Which means that we're talking about some special tree. Not just trees in general, but even though, of course, the halacha is for trees, but Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan. We don't have in our religion the year of the monkey. You understand? There's no such thing. So what does it mean, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, the tree? So we're going to learn something on a deeper level. Everybody knows that when we have a disagreement, when we have a disagreement in Chazal between the Chachamim, everybody knows that we apply the principle, the rule, to the Gemara in Erevin, but it's in many places. Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chai. Both these and those are the words of the living God. Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chai. Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, both these and those are the words of the living God. We once spent an entire Shavuos night many years ago in the little house talking about how could that be. One says this is kosher, the other says it's not kosher. How could they both be the words of the living God? That's not for now. Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chai means, as the Tanya explains in the introduction to Tanya, and it's found in all of the Sfarim HaKadoshim, that each tzaddik, with his Ruach HaKadosh, with his divine inspiration, each tzaddik expresses an opinion in halacha which is in accordance to the root of that tzaddik's neshama, of his soul. Kifi sheresh neshmasam lamala. If you look in the introduction of the Alter Rebbe to Tanya, he talks about this. It's not just an idea, it's not just an opinion. When we have a disagreement between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, it means that that disagreement is an expression of a deeper difference between the two ways that those two schools and the two tzaddikim of Shammai and Hillel viewed reality. In the root of who they were, in the root of their neshamas, is a difference. That's why these machlokes are consistent throughout Shas, throughout Torah Shebaal Peh. So what is this machlokes? What is this difference of opinion between Beis Shammai, who holds that the new year for trees is Rosh Chodesh Shvat, and Beis Hillel holds that it's Tu B'Shvat, the 15th of Shvat? What is this disagreement? It goes back to that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. If you look on that Yud Dalet in Rosh Hashanah in Rashi, We're told that the sap begins to rise in the tree. Of course, it's talking about Eretz Yisrael, it's not talking about here. But the soraf, the sap, begins to rise up in the tree, makes its first kvetch out of the frozen ground. Its first kvetch to go into the tree is Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Whether we see this, whether the scientists say this, is no nafkimin. Chazal have revealed to us that on that day of Rosh Chodesh Shvat, the energy of the sap begins to rise up in the roots of the trees. That means that the first hisiris of hischatzes, the first awakening of renewal, climbing out of the darkness and the coldness of the winter, and all that that means, the first awakening is Rosh Chodesh Shvat. That's why the mazel of the month of Shvat is a dli. A dli is a bucket, a pail. That's the mazel of this month. And the meaning of that, of the dli, is that there's something, there's chiyus, there's life that's found deep down below. And the inyan of the dli, like we say, Arumincha Hashem Kidili Sani, it says in the Sfarim, a person who's poor is called a dal. A dli means, the nature of a dli is that it goes, reaches down deep, and then you take and you draw out from the well and you bring up to the surface. So we understand that Rosh Chodesh Shvat is when the life force and the energy of the tree is drawn, it first awakens and is drawn from the subterranean world. It begins to make its trip, its journey upwards into the tree to give life to the tree. So Beis Shammai holds that the Rosh Hashanah for trees is Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Because Beis Shammai always is sensitive to the shayrish, to the root of reality, as opposed to the reality that we could see with our eyes, to that which we feel, that which we sense. Beis Shammai is always sensitive to the shayrish, to the root, to what's beneath the surface. And we know that the midah of Beis Shammai is the midah of gevura, of strength. Beis Shammai is strict, and the reason that Beis Shammai is usually strict in halacha is because the shorish, the root of the soul of Beis Shammai was what? Was gvur, was din, was very much Yitzchak Avinu, is the Yin of Beis Shammai. And therefore they usually ruled in accordance to the nature of their very soul, which is what? Which is din, which is gvur, strength and din. Now the word Ilan, which means a tree. The word Ilan is the gematria, this is already from Chazal, that the gematria of the word Ilan is Yud Ke Vav Ke and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Yud Ke Vav Ke, the Shem Havaya Baruch Hu, Yud Ke Vav Ke means, as everybody knows, the Midah of Rachnam, of compassion, of love. Yudke Vavke. The name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is Din. In Aramaic, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud spells Dina. Dina means Din. Adnus means control, strength, power. So somehow, in every Elon, there is this integration of the two kaiches of what? Of Beis Shammai, which is Din and Gvura, which is the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which means Adnus, strength and power. Gvura, which is Beis Shammai. And Yudke Vavke, which means Chesed and Rachamim, which means compassion and love. So we're told in the Sfar that Beis Shammai corresponds to the root of the tree. the root of the tree is the alma, this cassia, is concealed from our eyes. We don't see it. That's that part of our lives where we don't feel Hashem's love for us. It seems to us that Hashem is being tough, he's difficult. It's the shirish, it's the root. When you go out in the winter, we don't see that in the root of the trees that there's, we don't see that at the very, very bottom at the root that there's still some little trace of life. All we see is death. When you look at the trees, everything is dead. But the emes is that in the shirish, in the root, all the way in the root, there's a kusta de chiyusa, there's a drop of life. And that little drop begins to push itself up into the tree, into the roots, and to give life, but in a way that we can't see. On Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Because we understand that since Be'Shamay, the Midah of Shamay, is that aspect of the tree that is what? Vur. Vur, which is Din, means when Hashem's love for us is hidden from our eyes. It's the Alma Diskasi. It's in the root of our lives, but we don't feel it necessarily. We don't see it. We have to believe that it's there. Just like we don't see that at the roots of the tree that there still is life. On the other hand, Beis Hillel. The Midah of Beis Hillel, of course, the quality, the characteristic of Beis Hillel is chesed, is unbelievable love, infinite love is the Midah of Beis Hillel, which we spoke about many times, that the word Hillel, the letters Hillel stand for Haroife Lishvurei Lev. The one who heals the broken heart. And that was the entire life of Hillel. Was haroife lishvurei lev. To heal hearts that are broken. And you know, it's very hard to heal a broken heart by saying, oh, it's really very good, you just don't know that it's good. To heal a broken heart, of course you try to be machazik, but b'shamayz inyin is gvur, is din, is nesherish, is in the root. What part of the tree corresponds to Beis Hillel? The fruits. The branches, the fruits, the flowers, right? That corresponds to Beis Hillel. Because Beis Hillel means that part of the tree that is Yudke Vavke, that is Ahava, that is love, that is compassion. The fruits, of course, mean the Alma Disgalya, Hashem's revealed love. Where a person can reach and to take off a fruit and to enjoy and to have Hanor from the tree. Not just to know somehow to believe that in a hidden, mysterious way, way, way down beneath the surface of the earth, there's something good that's going to happen. That's Beis Shammai. That's in the root of things. Beis Shammai is very, very deep. But the Alma Diskasi is hidden. It's the Olam HaMachshav. It's the place of Hashem's thoughts. The fruits reveal Hashem's wonderful actions in this world. What Hashem Baruch does for us, l'maisa, that He gives us blessings in our lives. Therefore we know that the root of the tree corresponds to that part of creation that's called Olam HaMachshav L'Bar B'Midas HaDin. You all remember that the beginning of the Torah, it says Gracious Bar Elokim. It says the name Elokim, which means Din. So Chazal tell us, Allah b'machshavta, in Hashem's thought, Hashem conceived of creating the world with din. That's the root of existence, that's the root of the tree, that's the conception. The conception, you don't see that, that's just a conception. And that's bidin, that's with gavur, that's at the root, that's Beis Shammai. But it says, as Rashi brings down at the beginning of the Torah, afterwards it says in Bereishis, B'yom Asayis Hashem Elokim, says Yudke Vavke. Because Hashem saw that the world can't exist just with Gvur within. The world can't go on existing knowing that what? That somehow in the root of existence there's good. The world needs to see the revealed fruits of Hashem's love for each and every one of us, Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael. Therefore, Hashem's Baruch saw that the world can't exist just with Din, with the name Elokim, and He combined the name Yudke Vavke to the name Elokim to create this world. And every single tree has in it, as we learned, the gematria of Elon is Yudke Vavke, which corresponds to the fruits that are revealed. That's Beis Hillel, that corresponds to what Hashem's revealed love for Klal Yisrael. And it also has Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which means Din, which means gevurah, which means beishamai, the shayrish, that which is hidden, that which is hidden from our eyes, which we don't see. It's miskat, it's Hashem's thought. It's not Hashem's actions. And that's the inyan of beishamai. Therefore we understand that according to beishamai, when is the new year of the trees? Shvat. Because that's when the sap begins to rise in the tree, in the roots. We don't see that. That's in the world of the Sharosh. It's hidden from us. That's Hashem's thought. That's when the conception takes place. So Beishamai says that's why Shchoidesh for trees. The first awakening in the roots of beyond our vision. On the other hand, Beis Hillel holds that Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah for trees. Because the Inyan of Beis Hillel is what? Beis Hillel is saying, it's not enough for Jews. It's not enough for the world. It's not enough for the trees. Just that there's life that's beginning to be awakened somehow in the sherish and the root. We need to have fruits. We need to see Hashem's love for us. So therefore, according to Beis Hillel, that takes place Tu B'Shvat, because then there's the first Hesnoisitzus, it's the first blossoming. We all remember the song, Hashkedi Aparachas, Tu B'Shvat Higia, that in Eretz Yisrael, I was Zoiche to be in Eretz Yisrael, Tu B'Shvat, when a wonderful Jew was showing me, we went to see Hashkedia, we went to see that it was the first blossoming of the Hashkedia, of the almond tree, on Tu B'Shvat. This is the Machlokes. That's Aleph. Beis. So we ask, what is the meaning in the Mishnah that it's Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, the tree? What does that mean, the tree? So of course, we've spoken about this before. Anybody that's ever learned a little bit knows that the Torah is the tree of life. Eitz Chaim hi, Oz Yiranu Atzei Hayar, this Chatzus, the renewal of life that's taking place in nature, in the trees, at this time of the year, that begins to be this renewal as we leave the world of what? Of Esav, the world of the winter, the world of that coldness of Din. And we begin to move towards that world of Purim and Pesach, Shavuos. This Chatzus, the renewal that takes place in the trees that we see in this world, is a reflection of his chadshes, of some movement, some change, some renewal that's taking place in the midas ha'elyonim, in the world of Torah, and how Hashem Baruch runs the world. That's why the inyan of Bikurim, of the first fruits, again, we're not going to talk about that in halacha right now, the first fruits are brought by the yontiv of Shavuos. Since Shavuos is the day of the giving of the Torah, it's when the Torah is mamish revealed to us. And that's when we bring the fruits. We're not talking anymore now about the roots of the trees. We bring the fruits on Shavuos. Since the time of Matan Torah, the time of the giving of the Torah, is a time of Eitz Chayim Hi L'Machazikim Bo, that the Torah, which is called the tree of life, is giving its fruits. Therefore we understand that when it says in the Mishnah that Tu B'Shvat, according to Beishamai, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, according to Beis Hillel, Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilam, it's the new year of the tree. The Sforim tell us that the meaning of that is, it's not talking about, of course it means all trees. It means all trees. But what we see here in this world as the Rosh Hashanah, when the trees are beginning to come back to life, means that every year at this time, that somehow in the shurish, in the root of all reality, the Torah is beginning to give forth new ideas, new concepts. That's why at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, Rosh Chodesh Shvat is mentioned. And what happened to Rosh Chodesh Shvat, we'll come back to this in a few minutes. What happened to Rosh Chodesh Shvat, it says at the beginning of Devarim, Pe'ach l'chodesh, Ba'ashtei asar chodesh. It was on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Ho'il Moshe Be'er HaTorah HaZois. Moshe Rabbeinu began to explain the Torah, which is the beginning of Mishnah Torah, which Reb Tzadik and Shem Shmuel, all the Tzadikim tell us, was the first beginning of Torah Shabbat Al-Peh. Even though it's the written Torah Sefer Devarim, but it's the beginning of that crossing over from the pure Torah Shebichsav to Moshe Rabbeinu giving over in his own words, which of course are the words that are coming from Hashem through his mouth. But it's no longer Ve'yadav Hashem al Moshe Lema. Moshe Rabbeinu is now speaking, and he's saying, "I did this. I said that." It's the first awakening of Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah is coming to life. The Eitz Chaim, the tree of life, is beginning to bear fruit. When did that begin? On Rosh Chodesh Shvat. It says the beginning of Devarim. On that day of Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Hoyel Moshe Be'er as a Torah Hazos. Moshe Rabbeinu began to explain the Torah. The Torah began to develop before our eyes. We began to understand. It was leaving that place of the roots. The Torah in its roots, we can't understand. Only the greatest tzaddikim, neviim, and kabbalim, people like us, we don't understand the root of Torah. In the Shayrish, regarding Beis Shammai, Chazal say, Mechadadei Tvei, the Beis Shammai were sharper than Beis Hillel in learning. Sharper. Beis Hillel was a larger school, but in learning, Beis Shammai is Mechadadei Tvei. Beis Shammai were the deepest thinkers that were at the root of all things. We don't understand that. We paskin like Beis Hillel. Hayroi for Elishvurei Leif. That's when the Rosh Hashanah begins to explain the Torah. It says, Kimelech, this is what it means. It's when the Torah begins to bear fruit for us. Therefore, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilam, the tree, of course, means the tree of life, which is Torah, which is Hoyel Moshe Be'er as a Torah Hazais. It's when the Torah began to bear fruit. The Torah began, the sap was rising through the tree, and the Moshe Rabbeinu began to give over Torah to the Jewish people in a way that we'd be able to understand. It's Beis. Gimel. This always happens every year in the parashiyos of Yetzias Mitzrayim. This change, this is Chashas. This awakening takes place in these parashiyos of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Yetzias Mitzrayim itself took place, of course, in the Aviv, in the spring, when everything was back to life, but pale that we could see. Now it's still freezing cold, even in Eretz Yisrael. I was talking to my children, Erev Shabbos, it was cold. It was a wind. It's still winter. That these parashiyos now in the Torah, the parashiyos of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is because Yetzias Mitzrayim means that the Jewish people are no longer held within the bounds of what? Of Teva, of nature. Yetzias Mitzrayim means that the Jewish people are able to break away from the world of Teva, of nature. But I'm going to explain that the ultimate tachlis of the Jewish people as a people, and each individual Jew, is not to separate ourselves from this world, is to break away from this world in order to return to the world and to be able to uplift the world and to repair and to refine the world. We have, in Hebrew, there are two words, and I've spoken about this many times, is a teaching from the Ishbitzer, from the Bianca Ishbitzer. Kedusha and Tahara. Kedusha is translated as holiness, and Tahara is translated as pureness. Kedusha and Tahara. The Ishbitzer explains the difference between Kedusha and Tahara is that Kedusha means that initially, when a Jew is trying to serve Hashem at the beginning he has to break away from nature. He has to separate himself from this world. Kedusha means separation. You can't embark on a journey of Avodas Hashem when you're still submerged in all the craziness and the ugliness of Mitzrayim. So Kedusha means separation. It means that every person who's trying to serve Hashem has to go through those times of separation from the things of this world. But ultimately, that's not the tachlis. The ultimate tachlis is tahara. And tahara means purifying. And purifying means that the Baruch Shalom's intention was not that we should leave this world. The Baruch Shalom's intention was that we should take occasional trips away, vacations from this world, only for the purpose of then establishing a healthy and holy perspective so that we can return into reality and refine and uplift and repair this world. For instance, the first aveira that ever took place was with eating. And ever since then, eating has been a tremendous, tremendous part of everybody's life. There's probably nothing that is discussed as often or takes place as often as eating. There are the people that are constantly eating, and the ones who are not eating are always talking about eating. They're talking about eating what they're preparing, constantly working on preparing more and more food. People that don't eat are thinking about food, talking about food, trying to have other people eat. The people that are eating are talking about how they shouldn't be eating. But it's ever since that time of the tree of knowledge and the tree of life, ever since that day, there's been a tremendous obsession with food. And when it comes to eating, how do we apply this concept of Kedusha and Tahara with eating? The ultimate tachlis that Hashem wants of us is not to fast. That's not the tachlis. The same way that any good nutritionist or doctor would never tell a patient that you're supposed to starve yourself. Any doctor or nutritionist that tells you that the tachlis of your life is to starve is crazy, is dangerous. But the nutritionist or the doctor might say, you know, you need to have some time away from these things. You've gotten carried away with eating, and you need to have some time away. We understand that in serving Hashem, in order for a person to be able to have a healthy approach towards eating, he has to have the occasional ability to separate himself from eating. Those fast days that we have, in the earlier times when the generations were stronger, there were many, many more fast days. Voluntary fast days, especially this time of the year of the Shavuot. Many, many fast days. 84 times the fast a year that there were Jews that did that. That my father told me that both my parents, that my grandparents, my grandmothers fasted every single Monday and Thursday of their lives. Unless it was a Yontif. They fasted every Monday and Thursday of their lives. Which nowadays, we don't hear of such things. Maybe by big, big tzaddikim. We don't hear of such things. What does that mean? It means that in order for a person to repair and to refine this very, very holy act of eating, he has to break away from his teva, from his nature that says, eat, 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 eat. So therefore, even the tachlis is not to fast. The tachlis is not that Hashem does not want us to starve ourselves. That's absurd. It's not a way to serve Him. That's not what Hashem is Baruch wants. Hashem is Baruch wants us to be able to shatter into a million pieces the obsession with food, the fantasy, the delusion that a person's simchas achaim depends on a piece of layer cake or a pint of ice cream. That delusion that draws us back constantly to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, stuff ourselves and to indulge. And only then can a person come back and eat l'chvayd Shabbos, and to eat properly with a bracha, and to eat the way that the Baruch Shalom wants us to eat. And it's the same way when it comes to all taivas. Hashem Baruch wants us to be happily married. He puts us through those years of growing up and adolescence, years of denial, years of separation and so on, only so that a person should be a baldover, he should be able to control himself and to be able to lift up those taivas to a place of holiness and to live b'kedusha u'b'tahara with a mikveh and with halacha and with the shulchan aruch, and that should be done the proper way, and so on and so forth. Ein kol mokam lahar. And it's like that with everything in life. Therefore, leaving Mitzrayim means that a person shatters the delusion of the importance of nature. The same way that a person who's smoking for 30 years, you tell them to stop smoking, it's killing you. So I can't stop. I can't. It's not possible. To him, he's stuck in that Mitzrayim, in the Mitzrayim of smoking. A person that's overeating, or eating things that are very destructive, he's stuck in that place of Mitzrayim. So in order to get him out of Mitzrayim, there's something that's called cold turkey. Right? We've all heard of that. In order to get him out of that delusion that tells him that he can't live without the cigarette, that he can't live without a drink, that he can't live without a piece of cake, in order to get him out of that delusion and to cleanse himself of the delusion of nature that seems to him to be so powerful and overwhelming that he can't contend with it. In order to get him out of that, he has to leave Mitzrayim. And therefore, what happened in Mitzrayim, a singular event, what took place in Mitzrayim is that every single aspect of nature, that's this week's parasha, today's, this Shabbos, that's the Makkos about, this Shabbos, next Shabbos. And I'm not going to go through it, but if you look in the Abayei Benel, you look in all the Rishonim, look in the Malbim, Malbim's of course an Achron, but you look in the Rishonim and the Achronim. Every single aspect of nature was what? Was shattered. Each Makkah, and each set of Makkahs, was what? Was an attack against what? Against another aspect of nature that is deluding us into thinking that we don't have strength to overcome the nature of this world. And therefore, Yetzias Mitzrayim means that I'm out, I've broken free of that grip of nature, of Mitzrayim. But the tachlis is not just to be out of Egypt and to live in a miraculous way. The tachlis is not to live in a supernatural way without eating, without drinking. The tachlis, of course, is to come to Eretz Yisrael. The Baruch Shalom wanted us to come to Eretz Yisrael. We're in Eretz Yisrael. The Baruch Shalom wanted us that we should get our hands dirty and work the soil and be Jews that are mamish, that are in this world, that are masak in this world. The Olam Hasiyah, the tikkun of this world, can take place only from Eretz Yisrael, which is what? Which is the place where heaven and earth touch, where heaven and earth meet. And therefore, what did the Baruch Shalom do for us? Yetzias Mitzrayim meant the shattering of Teva, of nature, the breaking of that hold of nature. Then he put us into an amazing Beis Medrash for 40 years. What an amazing yeshiva. It was called Yeshivas HaMidbar. Yeshivas HaMidbar. And all of Klai Yisrael were in this amazing Beis Medrash for 40 years. And what did we learn in that Beis Medrash? We learned in the Beis Medrash that Bonai Chayim Mizaynai, the children, health, parnosah, everything is from the Baruch Shalom. So the food fell from Shemayim, fell from heaven. And the water came from the well of Miriam. And the cloud of glory and the light and the fire and all of the nisim of the midwar were an unbelievable Beis Medrash to tell each and every one of us that we should know that there's no such thing as Teva. And that the Baruch Shalom is mechadish b'tuva b'chal yom tov and ma'aseh bereishis. And that every single second there's this chadshus, the Baruch Shalom is creating the world again every second. And nothing is happening on its own. And the Baruch Shalom therefore was putting us through that unbelievable cleansing. He was cleaning out from us the delusion of Mitzrayim. What the Mitzrayim meant, that your life depends upon Teva. You have to do this in order to eat. You have to do this in order to have a parnasa. You have to do this in order to live. So for those years, the Baruch Shalom put us through that Beis Medrash of the Midbar, and the Beis Medrash, he taught us that everything is a Chiddush. Everything is from him. There's no such thing as what? As Teva HaMitzri, Egyptian nature. There's no such thing. But that's not the Tachlis. The Tachlis was that ultimately the Baruch Shalom wanted us, after going through this base medrash where we were taught in a very clear way that food really comes from Hashem. And that water comes from Hashem, and everything is from Hashem's Baruch. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, now I'm going to bring you into Eretz Yisrael where you're going to have to what? You're going to have to work 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day, 14 hours a day, and still believe that the food comes from me. And still believe that it's not Teva. But you're going to have to struggle and work hard, and you're not going to see any more food falling from Shemayim, and the well of Miriam springing with giving you water miraculously. It's going to be with hard work. And to still be able to believe what? That everything is for me. The first aspect, which is Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is the shattering of nature and the experience of the desert, that's called Kedusha. It means separation from this world. And the miraculum, the spies would have liked us to remain like that, as we know from the Zohar Kodesh. That would have been good. That would have been wonderful. Just like everybody's thinking, oh, if I didn't have to go to work, if I could just be like this, it would be terrific. The tachlis is to go into Eretz Yisrael. Meaning the tachlis is to return to the world of nature. But not to be what? Not to be imprisoned by it. Not to be diminished by it. Not to be destroyed by it. Not to be fooled by it. So the Baruch Hashem took us to the Beis Medrash of the Midbar, of the desert, for 40 years. And here we understand an unbelievable thing. The bracha that we make, of course, on bread is Hamaitzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. Hamaitzi Lechem, that Hashem is the one who takes bread out from the earth, who draws the bread out from the earth. The truth is that in the Gemara and Brachas on Lamed Ches, there's a machlokes, there's a disagreement there, whether or not the bracha should be Maitzi or Hamaitzi. Takes out, or Hamaitzi with the hay. In the end, I'm sure that many of you remember that in the end, the decision was made that the bracha that Jews are going to make forever when they eat bread is Hamaitzi Lechem in Ha'aretz. And the Gemara learns it out from this parasha. The Gemara says, you know where we see that? Hamaitzi Lechem in Ha'aretz. Because it says in the parasha, Hamaitzi Eschem Itachas Sivlois Mitzrayim. That's what the Gemara learns it out from. Hamaitzi Eschem. I am the one who took you out from under what? From the slavery of Egypt. Bitachas Sivlos, the suffering and the pain and the misery. Hamaitzi. And Maitzi doesn't mean it just happened once. It's Hamaitzi, every single second. The same way then, so it is now. The same way then, I took you out of that place, that world of Teva HaMitzri, of that imprisonment of what? Of nature. And I broke down all that entire delusion of Mitzrayim, of the Meitzarim, of this world. To tell you that every single second of your life is a gift from me. Every morsel of food, every drop of water is my gift to you. HaMaitzi Lechem in Ha'aretz is learned from the pasuk of HaMaitzi Eschem Itachas Sivlois Mitzrayim. And this means that it's constantly happening. And those who understand a little bit on a deeper level know that the Ari HaKadosh taught us that the HaMaitzi, that hay, is the hay Elah. In Hashem's name, there are two hays. The first hay is called the hay Elah. The supernal, the higher letter hey is the first hey. And in Kabbalah, that inin of the hey law is Alma de Cheiris, is the world of what? Of freedom, of being free. Alma de Cheiris. Because Yetzias Mitzrayim wasn't only leaving Egypt then. Yetzias Mitzrayim was Hamoitzi Eschem Itachas Sivlois Mitzrayim. It means that every single second, even now, Hashem Yisbarach gives us the koyach to what? To escape that imprisonment of Mitzrayim that's telling us that everything is determined by nature. and therefore the essence of our Yiddishkeit is Zeichel Yisias Mitzrayim. Anoich Hashem Lekech Sheseitzichem Eretz Mitzrayim. Everything in Yiddishkeit is, I am the one who took you out of Egypt. And everybody is asking, what is that? Why is that everything? It's the big deal with Egypt. Okay, we left Egypt. It's already in Alta Mais. It's a long time. Every mitzvah, Zeichel Yisias Mitzrayim. Everything that Torah is Zeichel Yisias Mitzrayim. So Tzaddik says, and all the Tzaddik tell us, that it wasn't just them. Yitzias Mitzrayim is an unbelievable historical experience, but it's telling us now, every second. When you and I sit down at our table and we say, Ruach HaKadosh Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, HaMotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, that I believe, even though I bought this in the bakery, or I baked this in my own oven, and it seems to me that I had to work for this, and I got a paycheck that enabled me to go and to buy this dough and to make this bread, and I don't see anything falling from God's hands into my mouth. But a Jew says, Hamoitzi Lechem and Ha'aretz means that the same way then Hamoitzi Eschem Itachas Sivlis Mitzrayim, if you're a Jew that lives with Yitzias Mitzrayim, it means that you believe that every single second of your life in the Baruch Shalom is taking you out of Egypt. He's taking you out of that lie, out of that delusion. So even though it seems to you, in an Eretz Yisrael Dickens perspective, it seems to you that I have to work in order to get this bread into my mouth, so you might believe that what? That maybe it's me. Or maybe it's the king of Mitzrayim, my boss at work, he's Paro. And maybe he's the one who has determined that I'm going to eat this piece of bread because he gave me my paycheck at the end of the week. Therefore, Hamoitzi Lechem and Ha'aretz is Hamoitzi Eschem Itachas Sivlis Mitzrayim. And the essence of Yiddishkeit is what? Is Zeichel Yisias Mitzrayim. Therefore, we understand, and now we're going to come back to the beginning, to Tu B'Shvat, Rishchad Shvat. Therefore, we understand, Chazal say, Lei Nitne Teire Ela La'eich Lei Haman, that the Torah really, really only is relevant to Jews who eat man. Now, nobody here in this room can remember ever having a piece of man. And yet Chazal say, Loi nitne Torah ela la'eichlei haman. The Torah was given for Jews who eat man. What does that mean? After we left Egypt, after we left Mitzrayim, we received the Torah Shebichsav. At Maamar Har Sinai, the Torah Shebichsav began to be revealed. The Torah Shebichsav, of course, is Lechem in Hashemayim. You know that in many places the Torah is compared to food. The Tzaddikim tell us, the Yaivis, the Chid, and other Tzaddikim tell us that the bracha that we used to make on the man was Baruch Ata Hashem Al Kenem Arachlam, HaMaitzi Lechem Min Hashemayim. Isn't that a nice bracha? HaMaitzi Lechem Min Hashemayim. That's the bracha that we made on the man. So you understand, the Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, that which took place at Maamar Har Sinai, was Torah Min Hashemayim, when the Rebbeinu Shlomo showed us clearly that there is no such thing as nature, that this world is a delusion, that the world is mamish, not the way it appears to be. Everything's really a nes, everything's beyond this world. Therefore, after we left Mitzrayim, when we saw that it's all a joke, and the Mitzrayim is not who they think they are, and it's not Madison Avenue, and it's not London, it's not Tokyo, it's not New York, it's not. So the Baruch Shalom gave us the Torah Har Sinai, the Torah Shebichsav, which was Torah Min Hashemayim. That's stage one, step one. That's Torah Shebichsav. Bringing us into Eretz Yisrael is the Bechina of Torah Sheba'al Peh. We've spoken about this many times. I don't have time to go into it now by Riches. Teresh Shabbal Peh, what does it mean, the oral Torah? Teresh Shabbal Peh means Hamoitzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. Why? The Teresh Shabbat was given to us at Har Sinai with thunder and lightning when there was no mistaking. It was clear to us that there's a God and that everything was a miracle. That's called Teresh Shabbat. That's Hamoitzi Lechem Min Hashemayim. the emissaries, it's not such a big chachma to be a Jew like that. It's not such a big chachma to be Jew when everything is clear. What's Torah Shebaal Peh? Torah Shebaal Peh seems to us, when we look at it, Torah Shebaal Peh seems to be from this world. It seems to be human beings, very smart rabbis that are discussing things in the Beis Medrash in unbelievable details, every single aspect of life. And one might think that a couple of rabbis just made up all these laws to make us crazy. Torah Shebaal Peh is Amotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. Torah Shebaal Peh means it seems to you that it's of this world. It seems to you that it's what? It's something which is just a natural thing of this world. People making decisions and thinking and all these halachas. It looks like it's from this world. Just like in Eretz Yisrael when we eat, or when we, even here when we're doing our work, we think that it's our work, we think that it's our, it's what we earned, it's what we've done. But the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem and Haaretz corresponds to Torah Shebaal Peh, which is Malchus. And therefore, Hashem Yisbaruch wanted that after going through the Beis Medrash, that big yeshiva of the Midbar, and of receiving the Torah, and of having the Man, and of having the Be'er, and receiving Torah Min HaShemayim, and having that clarity, the Baruch Shalom wanted us to come to the Tachlis, which is not to live in this way. That's not the Tachlis. Even though you have to go through a time where nature is shattered, just like we spoke about before, in order to be able to eat properly, you have to stay away from food for a while. You have to stay away from things in order to eat them properly. You see many people, you have people I've seen people that you see them, that they were very, very overweight, and then they were able to be in a diet with Hashem, and they're looking wonderful, and they're feeling wonderful, and then you see them a month later, and it was worse than before. It was worse than before. And it's so hard to stay. You know, to eat properly is much harder than staying away from food. A lot of people starve themselves, right? But very few people eat properly. Very few people eat properly. I certainly don't. And very few people eat properly. But to stay away from food? By me, to fast is nothing. To fast means nothing. And for most people, fasting is nothing. But what you have with these diets, and people go on these diets, to stay completely away, the tachlis is what? To be able to eat, but to eat properly, to eat the right amount, how to eat. That's called Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh means being in this world. It means Hamotzi Lechem HaNeshamayim, but every single thing in your life is done with measure. Torah Shebaal Peh says this, don't do this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this, do this. Minhagim and Halach is unbelievable, but every single second of life, because the Baruch Shalom's Ratzon is not that we should leave this world, not that we should live in the desert, not that we should just smash Mitzrayim and bring it to its knees, and then what? And to live like some sort of angels. The Baruch Shalom didn't have to send us into the world for that. The Baruch Shalom sent us in the world because He wants us to be Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. He wants us to what? To live in this world, to work hard in this world. He wants us to know that every single second it's from Him. That every single thing is from Him. And that's called Torah Shebaal Peh. That's the meaning of the oral Torah. That's Torah Shebaal Peh. To reveal that even the bread that we eat in this world, that you buy in the bakery, that you bake in your oven, it's also min ha'shamayim. It just looks like it's min ha'aretz. The truth is that on the highest level, we should be able to make a bracha, ha'amotzi lechem min ha'shamayim, on the bread that you get from the bakery, except people like us would think it's crazy. Well, I went to the bakery, I stood in line for 20 minutes, while the ladies, bakers have special ladies, it's a certain, you have to pay a certain test to do that. They should all be healthy and well. So you wait, then you come back, and you take the piece of bread, and you saw that they were taking it out of the oven in the back of the bakery, and there's Hamotzi Lechem Min HaShemayim? What's Heif? Min HaShemayim, were you kidding me? I saw the girl take it out of the oven 20 minutes ago. I saw her pull it out of the oven. It's Hamotzi Lechem Min HaShemayim. The emes is, it is. But we don't say that. The tachlis is to say the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz, but to know that it's from HaShemayim. And even though it was put into the oven, it was taken out, and this one, it's all Hamotzi Lechem Min HaShemayim. The emes is Min HaShemayim. Same thing when it comes to Torah Shebaal Peh. You learn Gemara, you learn Shulchan Aruch, and you say, come on, who thought of this stuff? What does this mean? This is Min HaShemayim? And they tell you, yes, if you don't believe in this, you're not because. What? Rabbi Akiva made this up. Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai, Rabbi Shimba Yechai, there are people like me. smarter maybe, a little bit more religious than me. But they were people, they were people, they were human beings, they're min ha'aretz, they're not min ha'shamayim. The test of our emunah is to be able to learn a piece of Gemara and to hear the words of Rabbi Akiva and to know that that was a human being, but every single thing was Hamoitzi eschem itachas sivlis Mitzrayim, Hamoitzi lechem in Hashemayim. That it's from a different place. It's not from this world. It just looks like it's from this world. So now we come to Bisham Vizilel. I left only 5 minutes. I think I need like 25, but I'm going to try to make it. The kids like another 10 minutes. He said that Beis Shammai means din, remember? And Beis Shammai means the shirish, it means din. And we learned that in every tree, there is that the word ilan is the gematria, yud kei vav kei, and aleph dalet nun yud. We understand that as far as the tree is concerned, and this machlokes that we learn between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, we understand that on the one hand, there's the shayrish, there's the root of the tree, which we learned at the beginning of the Shmuz, that the shayrish is connected to Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is the Alma Diskasya that's hidden from our eyes. It's something which is himmeldik, it's something which is beyond us. That aspect of reality of the shirish of the root is a madrega of tzaddikim of Beis Shammai, Reish Chodesh Shvat. But the tachlis, we learned that the mazel of this month is a dili, and dili means the bucket. And we learned that it was at the beginning of Shvat, this time of the year, Hoyel Moshe Be'er Zatayrazay, the Moshe Rabbeinu began to explain to the beginning of Torah Shabbat. That means that Rosh Chodesh Shvat, listen carefully because we really don't have time to go into this barichas. Rosh Chodesh Shvat means the shirish, it means the root. It means that in the deeper, deeper reality, there is no teva. Teva is being totally shattered, it's being totally destroyed. But that's in the Alma Diskasya. People like us are not the Madrega to understand the hidden world. And therefore, we pass like Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel says that Tu B'Shvat is the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan. And it was even though it's true that on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Hashem Yisbaruch began to explain, which means the Teresh Baal Peh began, and the fruits, the sap was rising in the tree. But the tachlis is that people like us live in this world, and we can't understand the shayrish. We're not in that madrega of the shayrish, and we can only our way of living in this world is with the pears, with the fruits. But the Teresh Baal Peh began to be explained Reish Chodesh Shvat, but the fruits were only revealed on Tu B'Shvat, and that's why it's an amazing thing. Purim is 44 days from Reish Chodesh Shvat. And 44 is the gematria. It says in the Sfarim that 44 is the gematria dili, which means a bucket, a pail. And everybody understands. And we know we're not going to talk about that now. But the whole inyan of Purim is for a Jew to see beneath the mask of this world. The whole yontiv of Purim is to know that the world is not the way that it seems, that everything in the world is wearing a mask, and that really the Ribono Shel Olam is running the show. That's the whole Inyan of Purim. That's the Inyan of Esther, of course, which means concealment and hidden. That's the Inyan of Purim. And therefore we understand that since that revelation is taking place on Purim, we read about the tree that Haman and his Rishoy and his sons were hanged, were killed with that tree. And that tree is connected to Tu B'Shvat. And it's the tree of life, it's the tree of Torah, that's Klal Yisrael. Therefore, there are 50 gates of understanding, the 50th level of understanding Torah is the highest level. And that's the side, the mystery, what it says in the Megillah of the tree, which was Eitz Gavaya Chamishim Amah, the tree on which Haman and his sons were killed, that tree was 50 Amas high. And the whole Inyan of Amalek, we don't have time to go into it, it's not for now, it's more for Purim. The whole Inyan of Amalek is what is, this world is a world that's determined by natural forces. There is no Rabbeinu Shlom. The Rabbeinu Shlom doesn't fear the Welt. And the process that begins on Rish Chodesh Shvat, when we come out from the Shoresh, which is the Madrega of Tzaddikim, and we move into the world of Teresh Shavuot Pes, the sap rises in the trees, and we begin to have these new fruits that are growing from the tree. So Davke, that is the beginning of a process that moves us towards Purim. When Purim takes Haman and his sons, and they hang on the eights on the tree. That's the tree of Torah, which ultimately is the defeat of the tree of what? The tree of Mitzrayim, that world of Mitzrayim, that world of Teva. And maybe we understand, let's finish, that what did Hashem Yisbarach tell Klal Yisrael? If you look at the beginning of Devarim, what did Hashem Yisbarach tell the Jewish people on Rosh Chodesh Shvat? Besides that he told Moshe Rabbeinu to begin to explain the Torah, what did Hashem Yisbarach say in Rosh Chodesh Shvat? Moshe Rabbeinu said this, Hashem Elokeinu dibur eleinu b'charev leimar. Hashem Yisbarach spoke this at Har Sinai and he said, Rav lachem sheves b'har hazeh, tnu usu lachem, uvo har ha'mayri. It goes on to say, Eretz HaKnani, v'halavonan, ad ha'nor ha'gadol nahar pras. You know what the Rebbe Shlom told Klal Yisrael in Rosh Chodesh Shvat? It's enough time that you've spent in Golos. It's enough time in the Midbar. I want you to go to Eretz Yisrael. Those words were spoken in Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Ve'ei, nesati lefneichim es ha'oros eshenishba Hashem la'avoseichim la'avram li'yitzchak li'yakov lo'oseis lahem. Those words were spoken in Rosh Chodesh Shvat. The Rebbeinu Shlom said, I want you to enter into Eretz Yisrael. It's time. It's enough time. Rav lechem shevus ba. It's enough time by Har Sinai, meaning in Midbar Sinai. It's enough time in the desert, dragging around. You've been in this base medrash for 40 years. I want you now to go into Eretz Yisrael to apply hamoytzi lechem min haaretz, to connect Shemayim and Aretz, to go to Eretz Yisrael. This was the hachroz. This was the announcement that went out on Rosh Chodesh Shvat. The Rebbeinu Shlom wants us to go out of the realm of Teresh Bechsav Beishamai and to enter into the world of Teresh Baal Peh, which is the Peirish, which are the fruits, which is the Inyan of what the Eretz Yisrael that we spoke about. And that's how we understand the beginning of the parasha we read this morning. At the end of Shmos, Moshe Rabbeinu, on his Madrega, Moshe Rabbeinu had a taina. What was the taina? The taina was Vahasal Hisaltisamech. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Rabbeinu Shlom, I don't see, you know, ever since you sent me, it hasn't gotten any better. As a matter of fact, it's gotten worse. Ever since you sent me to talk to Paro on behalf of your people, Hatzalei Tzalta, not only haven't you saved them, but it's even worse, it's worse than ever before. So what did Rabbeinu Shlom answer? At the end of Shmos, we don't see. So what's Rabbeinu Shlom's answer? L'maisa, Rabbeinu Shlom accepted the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he answers in this parasha, Lochein emor levnei Yisrael. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're right. Therefore, Lochein emor levnei Yisrael, go and tell the Jews, Ani Hashem, I am Yudkei Vavkei. The fruits are going to, it's time for Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat Higia. It's time to have the fruits. Because until now you haven't seen anything. You haven't seen the redemption because it's all been in that place that's called the Adam HaMachshava of thought, of conception, of the roots, of Beis Shammai, of Din. You haven't seen it. But the time has come. L'chein emor levnei Yisrael, ani Hashem, ayim Hashem yudkei vavkei, v'hitzesi eschem, yitzalti, v'galti, all the four languages of redemption. And then it says, v'hivesi eschem al haaretz, ashen nesasi es yadi, l'aseis oysel la'avram yitzchak el yakov, v'nesati oysel lechem mayrosh. Hashem says it's time that you have Eretz Yisrael. And as Rashi says at the beginning of the parasha, that Hashem Yisbarach says, I made promises to you, but I haven't kept my promises yet. But the time has come for me to fulfill my promise. I haven't yet fulfilled. Lani karti lohem b'midas amitishili. Hiftachti v'lo kiyamti. Hashem Yisbarach says, I've made promises, but I haven't yet fulfilled them. What does that mean? Everything Hashem says is true. But when Hashem Yisbarach says that I've made promises that I haven't fulfilled, it means that the roots are all there. The Shammai is there. Everything is set. But as far as being the Kayim the Haftach, fulfilling the promise, in a way that Jews would be able to not just believe that Hashem is good while they're being beaten up by some Egyptian slave or being kicked or being beaten someplace, anywhere where Jews have been hurt. And to just believe that in the Sheirish, that in the root, it's somehow good, and that this is only for my good. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, I know, Baruch Shalom, I understand what you're doing. And I understand the very, very deep things that are going on. But Lamaisa, we're going to lose them, you know. They're not going to be able to take it any longer. They're not going to be able to manage. And therefore, Hashem Baruch finally says, Ani Yud Kei Vav Kei. I'm going to give them fruits for all those years of being stuck underground. For all those Jews that were hiding in bunkers in Warsaw and who knows where else Jews had to hide underground. Somebody was just telling me today that he was able to see, you know, there's a Jew that's been prisoner for so many years, it's Jonathan Pollard, it's Mamish and Avla Shane Kamaya. It's something which is hard to believe. It's hard to believe that nothing's been able to be done to take him out. So one of the Chafayim was telling me that when he was first in prison in Illinois, I think, so he said that there were a couple of guys that went from yeshiva to visit him. And they were keeping him in a room that was like a box, six levels beneath the ground. That's how he was being kept. This is a friend of America. Now, I understand that there was something that happened to the Shalei Kedin. I understand. So what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is that, look, you know, there are Jews who are able to be Jews six stories underground, in boxes, in bunkers, listening to boots on top someplace. And in the Sherish, we know that everything is good. But Lamaisa Hatzalei Tzaltas, you haven't saved your people yet. You haven't kept your promise. And the promise that Hashem has spoken that you made to us was a Tu B'Shvat promise. And the Tu B'Shvat promise was that they're going to be payers, they're going to be fruits for all of these years of suffering. That we're going to see redemption with our eyes. Not just a matter of something to believe in. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mi'oz Bosi Al Paro L'Dabar B'Shmecha. Since I came to Paro to speak on your behalf, in your name, it's gotten worse. And there are many, many Jews that feel this way. But ever since they began to be religious, ever since they began to keep Torah mitzvahs, Hatzalei Hitzalta, not only hasn't my life gotten easier, but it's gotten more difficult. It's become more Beishamidik. So we know, Rebbeinu Shlomo, that you want us to live through times of Beishamai because we have to be Hamayitzi Lechem Anaretz and has to be, and we have to believe that it's all from you, okay? Okay, what are we going to do? We believe in that. But Hatzalei Tzalta, it's time that we should have the payers, it's time that we should be able to enjoy the fruits of all of these years of being kept on the ground, the Sheroshim of the winter. So Hashem Yisbarach should help us, that we should be Zaycheh Bez Hashem in the schus of our continuing to keep Teresh HaBalteh and to believe that in the Sheirish it's only Hashem's love for us, everything is good. That in that schus that the Baruch Shalom Shittake brings us to the time that we'll be able to return to Eretz Yisrael and we'll be able to, each and every one of us, to look outside of our window and to see Hashkedi HaParachas. We'll talk more about Tu B'Shvat next week. But to be able to look out of our windows and not just to get like we did when we were still in school as a kid in Jamaica and we'd have a special assembly. Shmuel, you remember the brown paper bag, trying to find at least one peanut, hoping for one peanut in that bag of stuff that I would give, prunes and boxes that I always give to my parents, just to try to squeeze out one peanut, which is not even one of the pears of Eretz Yisrael, but to get one peanut, because who likes ta'anis and who likes the chiruv and the boxes? We give that to the parents. The time will come that will be zeichem and Hashem. Each and every one of us to look outside our window. On Rosh Chodesh Shvat we won't see, but on Tu B'Shvat we'll see Hashkedi HaParachas, Hashem HaZeirachas, that the light will be shining, the sun will be shining on the house and in the heart of each and every one of Hashem HaZeirach's children, with the Gula Hashem V'Amitis M'Hem Yameinu Amen.